I want to, as we're looking at these eight Beatitudes, we've come to the fifth of the eight, and that's verse 7. Now, the word blessed has a connotation that it is saying God is going to bless. It's a blessing that comes from God. So, verse 7 says, that blessing which comes from God are to the merciful. Yes, to the merciful. And then the reward of obeying and listening to God, he says, I'll do this, that you obtain mercy. Now, I think that is important enough that we ought to spend a little time on that, because he's going to promise us that if we listen to this beatitude, he's going to bless us. And temporal and also eternally, he says, I'm going to be merciful to you. It's a lovely passage. These Beatitudes are in steps. You have the first and then go up. Or as a ladder, rungs of a ladder. We're up on the fifth one, there's eight rungs. And you say, well, why is there a progression like that? And I think it's important for us to see this. You just don't jump on someplace and there's a progression in this. We've seen in verse 3 that we need to see ourselves as poor, lost sinners and bankrupt spiritually. There's nothing that we can do to earn our way to heaven. You're completely bankrupt, and so am I. And he says, you come to that place, you know you're a lost sinner and you're undone, and if you don't have some help, you'll die and you'll go to hell. So you come to a place where you get to a place where you see self-righteousness is as filthy rags. And it stinks. Self-righteousness. Some people think that, well, hey, I'm not like that bum. They've never come to the first beatitude that they realize that they are bankrupt spiritually. If you haven't been there, you're not a Christian. And if you haven't experienced the second beatitude, and that is you're mourning over the fact that I've thought things and done things, and I know all through the years it displeased the Lord, I've broken the commandments, thought, word, and deed. Somehow you know your life, not. And you say, I'm sorry that I did that. And he says, I'll tell you what, if you have Holy Spirit conviction that you've been a sinner and you've broken God's law and you're in trouble and his wrath is upon you and you say, God, I'm sorry. He said, all right, that's the second step. That's the second wrong. Now you know that you're a Christian. So you see that? Fine. But there's more. Yes. What's he say? He's saying about the necessity of having a meekness. Not weakness, but a meekness. And that has the idea of humility. A gentleness, a humbleness. It has the idea of turning the other cheek when you're faced with situations in this life. Do you have meekness? If you don't, you're not a Christian. Because this is what God says. So I don't have poorness of spirit, and I don't have mourn for my sins, and I'm not a person who understands what meekness is all about. It says that if I have it, I'll inherit the earth. I like an inheritance, don't you? You see, there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And those who know the Lord Jesus, so when he comes back and there's the judgment and the white throne judgment, and God's people who are blessed and enter in, they're going into a new earth. That'll be something. If you don't know Christ, you know where your destitute is also, don't you, friends? And we're here to help. But you know, sometimes you gotta speak forthrightly to help people. Well, all right, that's fine. And then we learned about what it means to have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, verse 6. And it says, you have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be more like him. I want to please him. And he says, I'll give you my imputed righteousness, and you'll be like the Lord Jesus, and you're safe eternally. But do you have a hunger and thirst to be? Do you come this morning hungry? You come here and say, now this preacher better get at it, because I'm hungry, and I'm thirsty, and I need the bread of life, I need the water of life, now let's have it. But you need to pray, and you need to also help that this ministry may continue. I've often said to my brother, elder, by rights we shouldn't be in existence, only just a few of us, and there are expenses, and we've been given greatly to missions. In the last quarter of last year, we're $3,000. But there are needs here. And so we got to take care of home. My mom used to say, son, charity begins at home. She used to preach that to me. I had a good mom. It took a while for me to get a hold of that. But anyways, it says, do you have a thirst, a hunger for righteousness to be more pleasing to our Lord? He says, I'll fill you, I'll satisfy. In fact, he says, I'll fill you to such a capacity that your cup runs over so that you can carry out verse 7 this morning. It's like that first flower that came up out here. Boy, it was a delight. You say, well, you're silly. Oh, I'm silly then. I just enjoyed seeing that little flower come up. And he said, it came from the ground. And the ground here is, the Lord says, I have given you a ground of a desire to have a righteous life. That's the kind of ground it comes from. And now as a flower springs forth, Lord, I want to share this with others. He said, that's exactly what I want you to do. I want an overflow life. Not just the old sad sack and just me, myself, and me, my wife, and Don, you know, the baby makes three. It's just me, 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 me. No, no. Verse 7, he says, I'll tell you what. I'll bless those folk who are merciful. Yes, I will. And you know what? They shall obtain mercy. When, Lord? What he says, well, you got to get the tense of this. It's a present tense, an active tense. And that is the word mercy has, being merciful has the idea of compassionate. But it's an active compassion. Yeah, it is. It's an active compassion from the Greek. It isn't something to say, oh, I remember 20 years ago I helped this guy down. Well, that's 20 years ago. If you are a merciful person, it's working right now. You say, well, what can I do? Well, I don't know if I can really tell you what to do, but there are some suggestions from the Word of God. We've heard about volunteerism this morning, and I sure tell you, if you expect everybody, you expect the other person to do all the work. I had a man volunteer, or two of them, to mow some lawn this week. Can I mow the lawn? What's the matter with you, preacher? I can mow the lawn and have done it for years. But it's nice to be able to do what the Bible says, that I am to study and pray. I do a lot of things. But so what? You're going to work your way to heaven? No, that's not what it's all about, verse 7. You can't work your way to heaven. We just saw you have to have poverty, bankruptcy, spiritually. None of us can work to heaven. But if we have faith, our faith should be active, and it should be active as far as compassion. I need some windows open. You do? Yeah. Well, what do you mean? I need a couple of stories about mercy. So where should I start? I could start by saying George Mueller. Oh, what a man, George Mueller. What a man. I read his book. Can't see it at the moment, but it's here, George Mueller, I think. Boy, he was a merciful fellow. He was concerned about orphans in his day. He trusted God for the orphans, help for orphans and widows. God blessed him. You mean he blessed him? He blessed George Mueller in a wonderful way. The kids were all there and no breakfast. The little children sitting at a table, and he had a lot of them at a table. And George went to the Lord and said, Father, you promised you'd take care of the orphans and the widows. These little children have something to need. They need breakfast. We don't have food for them. Guess what? A wagon of some sort backed up to the kitchen area with potatoes. Yes, sir, those kids sitting there, they got potatoes. You say, well, potatoes, they needed cereal. I want to tell you something. Don't you get so smart that you think potatoes aren't important. What a breakfast they had. And I've had some good breakfast with potatoes, too. And I show it. But anyway, wonderful God. George Mueller was a merciful man. And God blessed him and blessed his ministry. Oh, there's one that may even be a little closer. This person may have helped some of your ancestors in Deutschland. Who? Florence Nightingale. Oh, no, that's English. Hold on now. Hold on. She spent a lot of time in Germany. So, what do I care about Florence Nightingale? The pagans, for the most part, looked upon the infirm and the sick. The best they would do would take them out alongside the stream and let them lay there along the stream. And if they felt they could drown themselves, fine, we took care of that person. He drowned himself. Or he'd just stay there and suffer. And Florence Nightingale heard about these things. And God, I believe, put it in her heart because she was a professing Christian. She may not have seen everything the way you see it, but she acknowledged the Lord Jesus. And Florence Nightingale, the people who took care of the infirm and the sick in the day before, in her day, even before her day, if you were wealthy, you could have somebody help you, but most people would just suffer. Wasn't much help for them. No hospitals. You say, well, what did Florence do? Florence, she served those Germans a whole lot, maybe some of your ancestors, and helped them. And she, I tell you, it's kind of touching to read about Florence Nightingale. I don't know if we have a book by her or not. We don't, do we? But but maybe we can get one so you can read about it for yourself. But see, this matter of nursing, it's nice to have nurse. And some of us have done practical nursing for years in seminary and school and so forth. And it's nice to help people. Florence really established nursing as far as I'm concerned. So when you go to the hospital, and by the way, when you go to a hospital, I want to tell you something. It wasn't put there by pagans and lost sinners, that is, without Christ. But hospitals are basically, you know who actually stimulated or brought about hospitals in this whole world? Christians. Christians believe in being merciful towards people because it's a spiritual gift. God saves us and puts in our hearts, as we read in Ephesians there, the gift of the Spirit of God. One of them is mercy. And I tell you something, friends. He put it in our hearts so that we might be merciful. It's not of Bill Robbins. It's not of you. Oh, you can be a benefactor. If somebody says an alms, and you say, hey, give him something. Man, I'm so tired of him. Every day I go past, he goes, alms, alms for the poor. I get so tired and weary of him, always asking for something. Well, I'm telling you something. That's not the attitude of a Christian. An attitude of a Christian will be one of being charitable and merciful. When I was coming home the other day, down here at the one exit, I saw two truck drivers. And I saw the hood open on the front truck, the front truck, and the flashers were on. And I saw the first truck had a problem, and the second trucker, he pulled in behind, put his flashers on, and they were out there working on the truck. And you say, that's not so important. I'm going to tell you something. You drive an old car, batteries will play out on you, and you'll have problems along. It's nice when somebody is charitable, or shall I say, that is merciful, to say, what's this old guy need? Maybe I can help. Now, I want to warn you something. Please listen to me. It's nice to be able to stop and help somebody in need. But would you please be wise as serpents and harmless as doves? Because there's people in this world who would maybe set up a situation where they would probably rob you or even hurt you. Boy, are you ever paranoid? No, I'm not paranoid. I'm a realist. So I'm going to stop and help this lady that has a flat tire or something, or a problem with the hood open. Be careful. Look around a little bit. Where's the big hurry? Look around a little bit. You say, what are you talking about? Look around a little bit. There's somebody over there. It's in the parking lot. He's standing there. When you're bent over looking in the hood, things could happen. Prayerfully. If you see a situation and you say, you know, I'm not really an authorized mechanic, but I can help you get a person that can help you here, lady. If you see somebody that may be hanging around, they set up things like that. Now, do I have a mind that way? Well, some of us can be quite naive. I know God can take care of us. I know that. I'm not minimizing that, but it's nice to just kind of look things over first. Where was I? Oh, you go to the hospital this week, say thank God, and thank Him, because it's because of Christianity that we have hospitals. And when the doctor says to you something about, well, I don't know about this religious thing, I don't mind the time. Listen, doc, you wouldn't be here working if it wouldn't be for Christianity. I'm a Christian. You might want to remind them, because there was a time in my ministry that they didn't welcome preachers. Now, there's been some changes. They're saying prayer is important and so forth and so on. Maybe things have changed. But I want to tell you something. Not all religion is the same. You know, I've had some experience with the hospice. And I think that's a great idea. Somebody dying of cancer, they need some extra help. People need help. But, you know, they have a right to also spiritually mess things up. Tell people, now you're all right. It's fine. Things are going to be okay. And so on and so on. They're lying to them. And I think that there's an area that it concerns me. I like the hospice. But I want to tell you something. They have a right to mess around spiritually, too. And they say, well, they have chaplains. A lot of these chaplains are liberals and modernists, and they're not giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're telling them that you're just okay. We're all gone to heaven. They're universalists. We're all going to die and go to heaven. Well, that's not true. You know that. And so we had to be careful. We invite the hospice, and you had to put some rules down, maybe. And say, I have a preacher, and he'll come. Our preacher tonight was wanting to go visit a friend who's dying of cancer. And he told him, he's okay. And John died this past week. He's all right. And Brother Rook worked with him at the factory. He was not right. But these people say, he's okay, he's all right. Went to be with the Lord. I hope John did. But I knew him too as having had some automobile work done in his garage. But you see, you need to realize the subject is, are you merciful? The Lord Jesus talks about Christian mercy. That's what that is. And he says, listen, if you pay attention to this and say, well, I'm not going to be a Florence Nightingale. I'm not going to take up nursing. Okay, there's other ways. That isn't the only way. I just used her as a window opening to see how that some people do that. Well, so we sing of deeds of love and mercy. Yes. It's a man-to-man thing. People have needs. There are people, and I'll get to the spiritual, but most people think of mercy just for the physical. You know, financial problem. Yeah, people have financial problems. And that's why I keep preaching that you ought to be a little spiritually nosy about some things. How is that person doing? Because when people say, how are you? Oh, fine, things are good, things. And it may be that the family's having a rough time. You got to look a little further than that. We are to look after each other. And we're to be look at all people, but especially the household of faith we need to be concerned about. Anyway, what's the point? The point of it is that you ought to have your antenna up. Anybody know what an antenna is? This thing here has an antenna on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There she is. That's up. My brother, he's got it working in there. Get your antenna up. If you say, I love the Lord Jesus, be like Christ. He was one who cared. He was merciful and saved us. He wants us to look after others, the needs of others, and not just physical. I'm not a social gospel only. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually. And there's a medicine that people need. You see, you're in debt. No, I'm not. You're in debt. You say you're a Christian. You're in debt to the Lord Jesus. He paid it all. He paid it all for you, and you owe him. And you owe him lock, stock, and barrel. Your whole being. Oh, no, my job. My faith. That's fine. If you don't provide for your own, you're worse than infidel. But the bottom line is, you belong to Christ. And he says, I want you to be merciful. And he says, I not only will bless you if you're merciful, but I'll make sure that you're taken care of. Thank you, Lord. I need some help. I get the impression that people look to the government more than they look to you. Social Security is a real blessing. Someone said, if you had taken that money that you put in Social Security, invested it, and put it just in the, even in spite of the situation presently, you'd have something to leave to your legacy. When you die, that's the end of it. They don't get anything. But your loved ones might have gotten something if you didn't have to pay Social Security. Well, how did that get in there? But sometimes you got to look things over a little bit. But if you're in the septic system, you got to do what you can or sink. Did you say that this matter of merciful is spiritual given? Or is it something I work up? No, it is given by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And he puts it in our hearts. In fact, if you're a child of God, he controls us. And so when you see somebody in need, you ask the Spirit of God, what would you have me to do, Lord? Don't sneak around the side like the Levite and the Pharisee. You know, you ask me to touch that. I'm not bothering that drug thing. I'm not that. I'm not having anything to do with it. And I know they're in a mess. Forget it. They have social workers they can deal with. I'm not bothering at all. Huh. Well, you better take a look at verse 7 and before you go strongly and saying, I'm not getting my hands dirty. You say, I want to be blessed of God. You do, so do I. So then be merciful. Don't let Georgia do it. You be merciful and see what you can do and help. You can do something, maybe. Maybe not take care of them completely, but you can do some help. Because he said, I'll tell you what, there'll be a time, or it is presently, that I'll be merciful to you. God speaking. Well, that's good. The Lord Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And I want to be like Jesus. Oh, to be like him. Really? Well, then you got to get the idea you're not here to be served, but you're to serve. You're to serve others. Not just physically, temporal, materially, but spiritually. Well, I haven't heard much about spiritually serving or being merciful spiritually. We always hear about you got to, you know, take care of the hospital people or something like that. It's easy to get in that category as a church, if you're not careful, that you have a name that you're alive. We have crowds and we have a nice performance in a show and we're a really a lively church. But the church at Laodicea had the name that they were alive, but they were dead. And they didn't have any need of anything. I don't need to hear verse 7, I'm just doing fine. Yeah, well, I say you're naive. You don't know what it's all about yet. Because trouble and sorrow, sickness will come. And old age, if nothing else. You need to have your faith operative. It's compassion. The word merciful is the word compassionate, but active compassion. You know what it means to be active compassion? To have the antenna up, looking how we might help someone. Now you can get out of hand. And you may have to delegate others to help you. And that's all right, too. Well, I want to know something now. It says here that that if we're merciful, that we shall receive mercy. When's that going to take care of? When I'm old and gray, yes. Someone said, you know, it's like this. I try to be merciful. I have a shovel. And I shovel. This is a metaphor. I shovel. But God has a bigger shovel towards me. Oh, I like that. God's got a bigger shovel than I have. And so you're out there trying to help people materially, physically, but also spiritually. He says, I'll bless you. You think that it's really quite a sacrifice, but I got a bigger shovel than you think. And I can pour out from heaven blessings. You better listen to this fifth beatitude and see whether you really are merciful. Yes. Do you mean, Lord, verse 7, the obtaining of mercy, is that just for the future? No, that's not a future tense. It's there, but it's temporal. It's right now. It's temporal, and it's also eternal. You're kidding me. No. Providentially, verse 7, the obtaining of mercy is temporal, it is now, and it's also for eternal. You can't ask for something better than that, can you? Help of the Lord right now, be blessed of the Lord right now. He treat you mercifully and also eternally. It's a great passage. He's going to reward us. He does reward us now, providentially. And not only that, you notice that this has a spiritual connotation, and I believe that's primary. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. It's a spiritual thing in verse 7 that I want to emphasize in closing here quickly. But I want to turn to Matthew 25. You're in Matthew. Go to the 25th chapter. I want to close. Well, it says here, well, probably should read the whole thing, but let me go on down here and see if I come up with a verse. It's a great passage. The Lord said, verse 35, he said, I was a hungered. You gave me meat. I was thirsty. I'm looking at verse 35. And you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? Righteous. And the king shall answer and say unto them, that is to the righteous, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What? What a contrast. Yes. This is no small matter. Whether we're merciful. It's not really a small matter. I have one more passage I'd like to turn with, and that's Psalm 109. You ought to turn there. Why? Well, in concluding, you say, well, I'm not really too much in that thing. I let the social workers do it, and I let the preacher, he can do it, and the elders, they can do it. I'm not into that. I'm busy as it is. But in the 109th Psalm, just a few verses, I think there's a need for us to listen to this. And I start with verse 14 of the 109th Psalm. Why? Well, you'll find out. It talks about, you hear about him. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Whoa, wait a minute. What's going on here? Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Whoa. Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and the needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not to blessing, not in blessing, so let it be far from him. What's the problem here? A man who is not merciful. Let him, I don't care. It's not me. He said, all right, I want to tell you something. The time's coming that it says, the Lord says, I'll just cut off the memory of them. And he said, verse 16, because that he remembered not to show mercy. He persecuted the poor and the needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. And as he loved cursing, so let it come upon him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. You better listen to me this morning. The Word of God says, you pay attention to this. He said, I'll bless you if you're merciful. Now, I could leave it there, but I daresn't. Because you get the idea of stopping somebody along the road and helping them, or somebody sick, and that's all fine. But I want to tell you something. What's first? The spiritual aspect. Spiritual aspect. Medicine. We have spiritual medicine. We have medicine that you can give by the spoonfuls if you just want to. And God will use it. What? Give that person, you know, you're riding in a plane or something, you're doing something in a train or something, in a bus, and you don't know that person. You don't know that person. You can't be talking to them for an hour or so normally. But you can give spoonfuls of spiritual medicine, and God will use spoonfuls. Well, I didn't give the gospel. I wasn't evangelistic. Give spoonfuls. And God will take that which is little and multiply it. But you got to speak up. I see my neighbor. Your heart go out to them. Are you looking for an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord Jesus? Yes, I want to. Well, you know, in season, out of season, yeah, I know that. But I'm just looking for opportunity. Perhaps only maybe to give a spoonful. God will use it. Oh, be concerned about the needs of others. Sure. Materially, physically, sure. But also spiritually. And that's where I believe we need to see that I'd be a merciful Christian. And it's just not all physical. It has to do with spiritual too. And that's where you come in as a Christian. And that you might do as the scripture puts it. There's a hymn, and we still have time. We have a few minutes before closing. And I want to do this. I want us to use this hymn that Florence Nightingale used. What? She liked this hymn, 489. I don't know the tune of it. But I'm going to ask Brother Bob if he'll play 603. They only have four stanzas. I'd like us to sing "The Son of God Goes Forth to War," 489. To a tune, "O Mother, Dear Jerusalem." You'll know the tune. But this is the hymn that she liked, 489. Perhaps you would like to sing it with me. Spiritual warfare, and as we sing these last two stanzas.